This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar held on February 17, 2026 in Arthur, Illinois.
Good morning. Glad to be here and sharing this day with you. I think that I've already benefited from being here today. I think the purpose I needed to come was to hear Nathan talk about inventory. And so hopefully that we can take some actionable items home from that. Well, greetings in the name of Jesus. We're going to talk about something that every business owner sooner or later does. There's a few of us that all we ever do is work by ourselves and for ourselves, but most of us, God prospers our efforts and we find ourselves hiring people. And that is a fun process and an experience in and of itself, isn't it? Well, everyone has a story, and I love people's stories. And one way to get to know a person is to ask them a bit about their story. And so when we plain people get together, especially, we ask about someone's background, their family, where they're from, where they grew up. And as you get to know their story, you discover more about who they really are. And so I'll give you a bit of my story, and then we can talk later. So we own and operate Country Blacksmith Trailers. My wife and I do. We have about 10 full-time, a couple part-time helpers. So there's a number of positions that we've had to create and keep filled over the years. We've been in business since 2001 and have faced a lot of the usual challenges along the way. Nothing unique that you likely have not faced as well. It's a privilege to be here and share in this time. And I believe that as God's children, we're always seeking to learn and grow. And your presence here shows that you share that belief. And I think that's going to be an eternal project for all of us. Well, we're going to talk about the thoughtful, skillful process of arranging three parts: people, position, and purpose. And why are we going to talk about that? Well, when these things are lined up, when they are in order, then productivity and harmony can flourish in your workplace. So a couple goals for this topic are to inspire you to write down job descriptions, to write down your mission, your values as a business, and to take a good close look at the jobs and the people filling them that are currently at your business. So that's one of the goals, is to look at those couple things. And then also to give you some practical ideas and principles that you can use to improve those positions, that you can use to help your people improve. People are eternal. And as business owners, you have an eternal responsibility. This has been already introduced to us today, and I think we know that, but how much do you and I let that affect us each and every day? And I think as we wake up each morning and go to work, that should be a foundation of where we're at, that we are dealing with eternal souls, and how we relate to them matters. And that's where the art comes in. You know, creating a job description, finding a person to fill it, it's a task to be done. It can be on the to-do list and we can check the box off. But every person's unique, every business is unique, and you need to tailor the position to the person. Or you need to find a person that is made for the position. The two work together, the two will go hand in hand. Your business is your responsibility. If it's going to flourish, then you're going to be the one that has to set the processes and the things in place, the people in place to do that. And I define a flourishing business this way: productive people with heavenly priorities, creating a selfless team that provides outstanding service to others. So there's a lot of big words in that title. I think every one of us is important. I'll say it again: productive people with heavenly priorities, creating a selfless team that provides outstanding service to others. When you have the right people in the right positions and a shared purpose, you can confidently trust them to get the job done. And they don't need your constant oversight or micromanagement. And you can have a contented and productive place to work. You can have a place to work that's a joy to go to. And I would like to inspire you with that thought. Do you wake up in the morning and go to work, and are you happy to be going to work? If you're a business owner and you're not happy to be going to work, then you're to blame. And you need to take the responsibility and step up. And I'm not talking about the normal ups and downs of life. Sometimes it's happier than others. But have a workplace that's a joy to work. It's within our reach as Christian people. I use the word art in the title because which people go in which positions, it's not an exact science. It's not just hard facts. It's going to start there, but everyone needs time to learn, to grow, to fill that position. You need to be ready to be flexible. So let's start with the most important factor that guides this art for us. So we're going to talk about some foundational things before we get into the topic itself, the subject itself. The world's way of doing business, I think we're all familiar with that. It's there's a lot of politics, favoritism, appearances. There's a lot of selfishness. Things are done for appearances. How many of you have run across someone in a workplace that you do business with, or maybe your own, that you wonder how they got their job? How many have had an experience like that? A number. You're wondering, how did this man get his job? He's just incompetent. He doesn't have what it takes to serve. And I would say that a lot of times that is a result in the worldly workplace of these number of factors: politics, favoritism, appearances, and selfishness. As Christian business owners, we're called to a higher standard. And truth in the world's workplace is just viewed as a convenient option. Our higher standard is encapsulated in the golden rule: and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. This is a command that Jesus gave us. It's called a rule because for you and I, it is just that. In fact, this is not just a rule. This is your minimum standard. And so think about that very carefully as you go through the process of relating to positions and the people you put there. The higher standard is that we lay down our lives for our friends. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's the higher standard that we are called to strive for. Our businesses should be places where people want to work. And that's because we're Christian stewards operating on kingdom principles. And I challenge you to be a servant leader that willingly teaches others to serve and seeks their best interest. This was a quote on the slide from a sermon by Phil Schmucker. A king can teach someone to serve him, but then the servant aspires to be a king. Only a servant can teach and inspire another to be a true servant. And I was blessed by that and have made that part of my life's motto. Well, for the topic, we're going to reverse the order of the title, and we're going to deal, first of all, with purpose, secondly with positions, people, and then the art of alignment, or how to put those things in order and then maintaining that order. So we're reversing the topic for our outline, and that will guide our session today. Before we dive into these four components, let me share a story. We all have stories from business, and this is one of mine. Customer once bought a dump trailer, goes back quite a few years, and he had it for a couple of weeks, and he called me up and said, the powder coating's bad on this dump trailer. Well, you all probably know about powder coating, and bad powder coating is not good news. And so I told him, well, bring it in, we'll look at it, and there's warranties that are there for this purpose. So he brought it in a couple of days, and we looked at it, and I said, well, where's the problem? And he pointed it out. Well, there it was, in between the tires, on the driver's side, about a 4-inch square spot on the center axle hanger. The paint had completely come off. All right, it was completely off. There was rust in its place. And I said, well, that doesn't look good. So we looked over that trailer very carefully from top to bottom. And you know, the rest of the powder coating in that trailer was just above average. It was just really good. And we told him, well, the rest of the trailer looks fine. We'll fix it. If you'll let it here, we'll fix this problem up. And you can come back in a day and pick it up. And then he said this. He said, well, what are you going to do? That was a question I was hoping to avoid, wasn't I? So that was one of the lessons I learned then, is just to go ahead and come out with it and tell them what you're going to do. That way you head the problem off. I said, we're going to pull that in the shop and we're going to polish that up good, and we're going to prime and we're going to paint it. And how many of you have had a customer that has come apart? Well, we had another one of those moments, and he said, well, I just don't think that's going to work. I said, well, why not? He said, well, the powder coating's bad. I said, well, it looks good. And he said that, I said, well, what do you want to do? All right, so this is another question I should have asked sooner in the process, learned another lesson. And he said, well, I want the whole thing repowder coated. I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's call the manufacturer and see what they want to do. So we called the manufacturer, and they said, no, we're not going to do that, common sense. And so we said no as well. Well, he ended up taking the trailer home, upset. And we felt that we were in the right, I guess. And I didn't think a whole lot more about it. Of course, was disappointed that we didn't have a happy customer. But what really got me was about a year later, we had an open house and we sent postcards out to invite customers and friends for this open house. And he called me and he said, Neil, take me off your mailing list. You didn't treat me right. And I failed the golden rule. I did not fail the golden rule, but I failed the higher standard. All right. So the lesson we learned was the relationship matters more than the trailer, and today we would handle that differently. The one lesson I'd like you to learn from that story is that your true values show up whenever you have a problem. And so think about this morning. When you have a problem, that's when your true values show up. And so how you handle problems is going to show what your true values are. Well, let's start with purpose. I want to first of all talk to you personally about this. We're talking about business purpose. We're going to talk to you about it personally. Why are you in business? What are you in business for? You have your reasons, don't you? You probably have the reason you would tell me, and then you probably have the reason, right? Or at least a couple of them. So think about this. You already have a purpose. You have reasons for being in business. And I encourage you to think about these couple of questions. What values guide your decisions? How do you handle conflict? And I'm talking personally. And the way you deal with the problems that come up in your life reveal your true purpose and values. Most of us can do fine when things are going smoothly, but when trouble comes up, then our core values get exposed. Opportunity can also do this as well. So it's not just problems that bring to light our core values, but also opportunities. There are opportunities, many opportunities that you need to say no to in life. And that also reveals your core values. So I'm going to ask a couple of personal questions for you to think about before we talk about your business, maybe a bit of a personal inventory. Do you tell the truth even when it costs you? Do you love your competitors and difficult customers? Do you admit mistakes quickly and make them right? How do you resolve issues? Do you resolve them amicably or good-naturedly? Do you agree with your adversary quickly? Do you go the second mile, or are you unwilling to go the first? Because if what sets a business apart is how they handle the problems they face, the business is not going to rise above what you personally are willing to do or what you or where you're willing to go. So expect problems as a business owner. This is nothing new to you. Expect problems and eat them for breakfast. That means take care of them quickly. Expect problems and eat them for breakfast. And you'll never lead your business and your employees to a higher standard than what you have yourself. And that's a challenge for all of us. We like the right things to happen in our workplaces, but who are we? What are we personally? Being Christ-like is an intentional work. Being Christ-like is an everyday work. And being Christ-like requires the help of others. And so I want to hit this one yet before we move on to the business. If you're not sure what area of your life needs to be improved, I would like to have you think about this and ask yourself this question. What is something that other people would change about me? What is something that other people would change about me? And if we're honest and ask that question, we can come up with the areas we need to work at. And so work at one until it becomes habit and then start on the next one. Work at personal improvement. Well, now let's move on to our business. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. So we could put the business perishes there if there is no vision. And I want to talk about this foundational aspect of hiring and placing people in your business. And that foundation is your business mission and core values. You have them, we said, you already live by them, you use them, but you operate by them every day, but have you written them down? I think you need to write them down. What do we mean? Well, I have vision/mission. These are used somewhat interchangeably, and yet they are distinctly different. Vision is business aspiration and goals. Mission is business purpose and business activity, and then values are the guiding principles and ethics that your business operates by. So I for sure encourage you to write a written mission statement and a core values statement. The vision can be a part of the mission. That's why I put them together. Well, define your purpose. Write it out. Write down your most important values and then review and refine over time. I got stuck on this for years. You know, when you're a small company, you just have an employee or two. It's not as critical. You can kind of make more decisions on the fly. But when the heat of the moment comes, this is when this becomes really important, because we all know what that is, that we're dealing with that difficult customer in the moment. And if we don't have customer service burned into our core values, we're likely to make a decision that's not according to the higher standard, just like we did. And I got stuck on this because I got stuck in this idea that, well, if I'm going to write it down for the business, then it's going to have to be right. And it's going to have to be perfect. It's going to have to hit the nail on the head. And so I procrastinated and procrastinated until finally I did it. And I'm going to share ours with you on the next slide just for you to see. But if this is not where we started, and I would encourage you to get started and view it as a living document that you can review and refine over time, and you can change and you can add to it, subtract from it. A simple start is better than trying to get it right and think it has to be perfect like I did. Remember, you can write it down, but it's not going to be really any good unless it's what you're doing. And so if you write down your mission and values and you realize that we're not operating by some of these, then you're going to have to be clear with your team that you're going to need to see some growth personally and from them. One other thing before I move on to the next one, I'd like to talk a little bit about profit. A lot of us probably aren't going to put down that our business should be making a profit in our statement, and I think for good reason. But I would encourage you in your thinking about your business that you should not be embarrassed or intimidated by making a profit. And if you're not profitable, your business will be a burden to you and your team instead of a blessing. And I think sometimes we plain people tend to set prices based on the community, what are other businesses charging, and not really looking at the facts. So the scriptural principle here is in Ephesians 4:28 says, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. In that verse, we find both the profit principle and also the purpose for profit. And I would encourage you to adopt that in your business. We've found that profit doesn't happen without a consistent plan, and lead your team through business planning that creates a net profit. So write them down, share them with your team, and remember, it's what you do every day, not what's on that paper. I'd like to talk a little bit about the benefits of this yet. We often need, I'm going to double down a little and try to convince you that this is worth writing down. You can use them as a guide in hiring, training, and correction. And when new people come to your team, they get a sense of who you are when they read the document. It can keep your business grounded in the basics that make you successful. Over time, we tend to get complacent. We tend to lose sight of the things that we did when we were hungry and when it was lean. And these documents can help you keep a hold of that as your business ages and grows. It will guide the opportunities you say yes to. You know, a plumber shouldn't be quoting a solar panel installation job. It's not a part of his business purpose. And they can help you seek out, decide whether opportunities are something that you should be pursuing or not. It helps you find vendors that share your purpose. And that's an important one to us as a company. We like vendors that have the family values. Well, here's a practical way I'll leave this. Here's a practical way you could use it. So if you're correcting an employee, instead of saying something down the line of, I don't like how you did that, a document like this says, changes the conversation a little bit. And that says, your actions aren't lining up with our goals. And we have a core value of customer service, and your actions are not accomplishing that. And so what can we do to change that? So it shifts the conflict from personal to where you have a shared purpose. So I'll share ours here, and then it's written down in the slides in the book for your for you to look at. But keep it simple, and if you're like me, you'd like to come up with something profound and kind of it looks pretty good to share it with others. And I don't feel that about like that way about ours. And that's just fine. Practical and realistic are much better than profound and hard to get a hold of. Well, defining our mission and values helps us create not just a job, but a fulfilling place for a person. And Nathan was talking about me when he was talking about inventory and how we love to buy and love to buy. I was like, well, he must have visited someone like me. So I'll tell you a story. We have 8 acres there, and I love to buy inventory. And so guess what? It's filled up. If we had 12 acres, I think it would be filled up. And well, that creates a problem, right? That creates a problem. We have inventory coming in and leaving, and it needs to be managed. And so we created a position in the recent past of lot manager. And I'll refer to this some as we go through to give you some practical ideas of how to make this real in your own business. So we needed someone to manage that inventory, that wide selection of trailers and truck beds, and we needed someone to care for that. But just overhead, right? It's overhead. How are we going to make this pay? How are we going to make this something that's a worthwhile job for someone to do that they want to do for the long term? Well, we worked together. I think we did through 2 company meetings. We came up with a list of duties that they could do. It was a pretty long one. So that told us something right there. We had a pretty long list of duties that needed done. So we needed somebody that could multitask very easily. We said, well, who's going to be his boss? And well, the answer was me. I guess I'm owner and manager there, but the answer kind of was everyone, because the sales will call him for trailers to be pulled up, and the shop will be involved, and he'll be getting this request and that request from all kinds of different people. So it had to be someone that was flexible that could work for. And so as you write down the requirements of this position, then it soon guides you very quickly on what kind of person you need. So we hired a young man to fill the position. We made some modifications to fit his skill set, and he enjoys his work, and I don't know what we would do without him. And hopefully he'll be there for the long term. So now we move into how to create positions or job descriptions. And I have the who, what, where, and how method. And initially, the jobs that need done in your business, the positions, the job descriptions, it's just what you as an owner make them, right? You say, well, we need someone to do this part of the manufacturing process. And so you hire it out and you find a person to fill that. So you create them. But over time, you'll find that job gets modified by the person that's filling it. And at least if it doesn't, you probably won't keep them real long. And so be willing to create the position and modify it to fit the person a bit that's filling the role. Another story, I love sales, and that's why I'm in a product sales business. I enjoyed relating to people and solving problems with them, with a trailer or a truck bed in my case. And so one of the tough decisions I made some years ago was to get out of sales. And it wasn't easy. There was a lot of good reasons. I was my lowest margin salesman, maybe the highest volume. But, you know, as I looked the whole package, there was management duties that weren't getting done. And it just was going to be best for me to step back. So we did that, and I handed those duties over to those responsible, and it's been a good decision. But that was the decision I made in my business. You're going to have to make the decision for your business. So just because what works for your neighboring business or for someone that you're talking to, maybe it worked for me to get out of sales, maybe you would be better off hiring someone to manage the office. So it is what you make it. That's my point. And your unselfish humility will directly decide the quality of the positions you're able to create. Well, this simple list of questions is, if you write answers down to these questions, then you will come up with the position that needs filled. So first of all, who are they responsible to? And keep it simple and clear. So in the case of our lot manager, that was myself, but it also was really everyone else, because he's going to be getting called on a lot for maybe a customer comes in and needs to maneuver a large trailer around and he just got a load, and sure enough, we need to move three trailers so a customer can get around, things like that. And so he was responsible to me, but he really needed to be fine with being asked to do something by a lot of different people. And not everyone functions well in that. And that is not a personal slam against that person. It's just we're all created differently. And so that was one of the questions we asked in the interview. Is this going to be fine if the salesman asks you to pull up a trailer and the service department says, could you pull this trailer around back for us? And then, sure enough, the parts man needs some help. And he said, yes, that'll be fine. And it has proved to be fine. So that can help you make job requirements and ask the right questions when you do your interview. Who are they responsible for? Well, this would relate to management positions. If they're responsible for people underneath them, you need to go over that. We don't expect that in this lot manager position, so we did not have that conversation, but you will want to if you're hiring a manager, and you're going to have some key performance indicators that you're telling him this is the standard that you need to hold those underneath you to. And so who are they responsible for? What are they responsible to do? Well, in the case of the lot manager, they're responsible to oversee the unloading, organization, repair damaged units on the lot. There's a lot of things on that job description. Manage maintenance of the rental fleet. And that comes from what we have written in our mission statement. Some we have a wide selection. That's part of our mission. And so because of that, we need someone to care for it. And so he has a place in the organization because of that. One word on this section is, I think on your job descriptions, you should always have at the end of them, and any task assigned by your manager, because you will sooner or later run into that employee that says, but that's not in my job description. And you need to be able to say, yes, it is. So don't forget that important piece at the end. Where does this fit into our mission? And I have this titled teamwork or purpose. You know, what's the purpose of this? And we want to have these trailers, these truck beds ready to go when customers need them. And so that's how he fit into our team. And then how, this is an important one. How much value will they create? So that's compensation or pay. It's a critical question when creating a position. And as the person grows into that position, sometimes the position changes a little bit from what we had in mind, and that does affect, that affects pay. And so every position should work out economically, either by them directly generating income or by supporting those that do. There can be some charity positions in your business, but there probably can't be very many. It would probably be good if all of us business people would have at least one charity position that we have filled, but probably beyond that, we can't afford it. Creating value is important to people's worth and self-acceptance, and it's the largest contributor to their job satisfaction. Well above their pay is, are they creating value? God has created us each with a desire to do that. Well, clear roles prevent confusion, adapt roles to the person, be prepared to adjust that description as their strengths and weaknesses make themselves evident. I have another note here on teamwork, and I'm going to encourage you to make teamwork a part of your culture by making it a requirement. Teamwork should be, a lack of teamwork should be a cause for termination. Teamwork means covering for each other. Teamwork means seeking others' success. Teamwork means showing respect and listening to each other. And when you have a team, even if they're not the most competent people, a lot gets done. A lot gets done. So look to create a team in your business. Well, that brings us to people. We've all heard the old saying, people do business with people. And people are the heart and face of your business, whether that's yourself or someone else. And it matters what kind of jobs we have to offer, but the people matter the most. People are eternal. Well, how do we go about finding the right ones? We can put a job description together, but how do you know if a person is going to be able to do the job, if a person is going to be able to do it? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of ideas and things to do, but you're going to find I have to answer that question. Three points. They must understand the job, they must want the job, and they must be able to do the job. That was, you could say, is the beginning of this finding the right person. So you need to, in your interviews, in your background checks, whatever you're doing to hire a person, these are the questions that you are trying to answer. And so I'm going to talk a bit about various aspects of these three things. Hire for clearly defined roles. We all enjoy clear communication, so make your role, make the job descriptions clear. Discover why they want the job. What do they enjoy doing? Discuss their abilities. Try to ask them to self-assess their strengths and weaknesses, and see what they have to say about themselves. Be willing to take risks. I think this is important. Hiring someone is risky, and just accept and embrace the risk. Ask them questions. How do you do this? Well, ask questions and then actively listen. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. Active listening means you repeat back what they've said and until that person agrees that you have an accurate understanding of what they said. Take some notes as you talk. Discover their passion. Maybe it's hunting or fishing or family time or something, but discover their passion. That will often help you understand whether they're a good fit for the job or not. What did they enjoy about their last job? What do they enjoy the most? What don't they like? What hobbies do they enjoy? What are their goals for life? So these things are questions you can ask. Identify their core values. And they don't necessarily have to have identical core values to yourself or the business, but they must be willing to adopt what you have established for your business. If they don't like serving customers and customer service is one of your core values, then that's probably not going to work very well, or they're going to need to make a change. Do they take personal responsibility? And go ahead and ask the question. And remember this, when you blame and criticize others, you are avoiding some truth about yourself. And often that's the alternative to personal responsibility, is blaming and criticizing others. I'll say that again. When you blame and criticize others, you are avoiding some truth about yourself. And look to your own team to fill a new position. You might have someone already working for you that is looking for a fresh opportunity. And that takes some wisdom. Just because they make a good salesman doesn't mean they'll make a good sales manager. Or just because they're a good mechanic does not mean they make an excellent service manager. But they could. They could. And so look amongst your own team. A couple ideas I got from a couple other business people. Take notes while you interview and then look back at those notes, write down their strengths and weaknesses and compare that to the new responsibilities. If you hire them counting on them to change a habit, be clear with them and say, look, this habit of arriving late to work, that just has to change or it's going to be termination. Be very clear with things like that. Don't expect that a new job brings new behaviors for very long. Someone shared with me about personality tests. They do personality tests to those that they hire. And he felt like that jump-started him to getting to know that person by, I think he said, 2 years. So I found that interesting. We've done that along the way with the team that we have in place. Just for interest's sake, we haven't done that as part of our hiring process. But that's a suggestion. He felt like it very quickly gave him an understanding of their strengths and weaknesses, and that was a guide. Of course, we wouldn't want to be too adamant about assigning who they are from a personality test. People can grow and change. A thorough, well-planned interview is very effective, maybe a follow-up interview. Do some background checks. I've already been in a situation where I knew there was some trouble at the previous employer, kind of knew what I was going to hear, and didn't make the call, and I should have. Always make the call. Even if you know you're going to hear some negatives and you're giving somebody a second chance, make the call and find out what they have to say. I've regretted the times that I didn't do that. And how do you figure out if they're the right person? Well, trial and error. Experience is a cruel and effective teacher. About 20 years ago, we had a young man that we'd hired. His dad was making him work for us. And you've probably had some situations like that. Maybe you've been there yourself. And his performance was mediocre. It just wasn't outstanding for sure. He did not want to be working for the company. And we tried incentives. We tried pep talks. We tried different things. And nothing seemed to reach. One day he walked in and I said, you know, I know you don't want to work here, and I know you want another job, but if you will show up each day with a smile on your face and do the best that you can here, then when the next opportunity comes along that you want that job, you'll likely get it. If you don't do a good job, then we'll have to report the truth in either case. And that, in that case, connected with that young man. And the next day, I saw a difference because he decided that he was going to do differently. And in management, we fall into the trap of trying to make decisions for people. And remember, you cannot. You don't want to. You don't want that accountability on your shoulders. You're accountable for yourself at a high enough level that you don't want to make decisions for other people. So embrace that and try to give them input and point them in the right direction so they can make those decisions for themselves. Don't try to make decisions for others. Try to teach them how and where to get the right input to make good decisions for themselves. Well, the art, this is kind of putting it together. Art equals creative activity. And this is kind of where it comes together. It's no single formula. It's not exact step-by-step process. It's prayer and wisdom and creativity. And I'm going to give you 7 ingredients to keeping things in order. Emphasize teamwork. We already talked about that, and making it a critical skill on your team. Use a trial period. That gives time and space to adjust to the new responsibilities and new faces. Also gives you an idea of what they're capable of quicker if there is a probationary period at the beginning as an extra layer of motivation. You can use this time to understand the value they're bringing and help adjust their pay to where it needs to be what they're personally capable of. 90 days is what I recommend. You pick a time that's good for you. Give people time to grow into the position. Number 3 there. I would suggest adding one key responsibility at a time, especially some of our larger businesses. You get someone in, maybe a management position, and they've got a lot to do. Be willing to step up as an owner or as their manager and take some of their load and hand off a one key responsibility at a time until they get it. Be willing to step up. Don't just throw them into the thing and they're gonna learn it as they go. They likely will, but you also will have more control over what they learn and when they learn it if you give them one key responsibility at a time, and you can make sure they're doing that to your satisfaction. How much time should you give? Well, some positions you don't have the luxury of a long-term learning curve, others you do, so you'll have to decide that. Number 4 is close to my heart. Equip them with tools and authority. And your team needs you to do this. They need you to give them the right tools and the right authority to do their job. So maybe it's pricing formulas, maybe it's the right tools in the toolbox, maybe it's resources. I think most importantly here is you backing them up. How many times have you told one of your employees, look, I'm backing you up on this? Even though it wasn't the best decision, it certainly wasn't a decision you would have made, but you go to them and say, look, this is the way we're doing it. I'm backing you up because that's what you decided. It's tremendous what can happen. Be willing to invest in their growth and education. It's money well spent to spend on other people's growth. Ask yourself the question often, how can I make my team more efficient? Is there a tool or is there a resource that they're missing? Or that would help us. Delegate responsibilities, don't micromanage, and give them authority. Give them authority and the right tools and get out of their way. Number 5 is actively listen to their input. He who can only learn from himself has a fool for a teacher. And so learn from those around you. And generally, the people you work with have the best ideas on how to improve the workplace. That's generally true. The outside input can be helpful, but generally true, you have the resources and the knowledge and the know-how right within your team to make the place better. Get their input and ask them often. Actively listen by asking simple how and what questions and repeating that back to them until they say, that's right. That's what I'm saying. And I have a book to suggest for you. Never Split the Difference is the title of a book. It's a secular author, Chris Voss. He was an FBI hostage negotiator. And he teaches in that book how to actively listen. And it's very good, and it's pretty easy to grasp. He has a one sheet in the back where a lot of self-help books, you know, they're just too long. They spend 300 pages telling you something that you wish that could be boiled down to two, and he does that very well. So actively listen by asking simple how and what questions and repeating back what they've just told you until they tell you that's right. Allow room for failure. Failure can be the stepping stone to success. So don't get hung up on failure. Don't try to forget your mistakes, but don't dwell on them. And ask what we should have done differently. I think where you need to step in is when the same mistake gets repeated multiple times. Three is kind of my breaking point. Then I'm going to step in with a step-by-step process so that we can avoid this again and have some consequences if the same mistake is made again. So that's my number. Yours can be what it is. Create fair pay structures. I think we're weak on this as Anabaptist people to making abundant pay structures. And I challenge you to go home and look at the positions that you have created and see how are we doing. Would I do his work at his stage of life for what I'm paying him? And the answer should be yes. I think a bonus program is a better term than commission. Bonus implies that it's extra, it's earned, and helps to avoid the entitlement mentality. Well, maintaining, how do we keep it all together? There's some problems that come up along the way. Maintain open communication. Personal check-ins with your team members. Ask them how it's going. Ask them if they're facing something in their personal life. Thank them. Thank them frequently for what they're doing for you. A paycheck should, I think, always be accompanied with a thank you. What are some other problems that come up? Well, what about a long-term employee that just, he's losing his enthusiasm? What about that? How do you deal with it? Well, what if they just refuse to implement that paperwork or that new software or that new tool? Well, you need to communicate. Paperwork does need to be done the business owner's way. And I've already regretted that I did not clearly communicate the importance of a new procedure or a new way. If there's a new way of doing things, and the problem with a new way of doing things is it's going to have some problems with the new way too, right? We're just hoping that we have less problems. That's really the way to look at it. So often our employees are looking for a 100% improvement, and often a new way is not that. It's maybe 25 or 30 at best. So clearly communicate if a new procedure is a job requirement. What about one thing yet I'd like to share with you? What about employees that take too much on themselves and they try to manage other managers, or they try to manage you as an owner, or they try to kind of run the business? What do you do about that? One thing we've done already is we've sat those employees down and said, okay, picture a box. And this job description is your box. And if it's not in the job description, we don't want you to worry about it. We don't want you to worry about it. If we want your input, there's time at company meetings, or we'll ask you, or you can share in a public setting. So that's something that you could do. Well, this art requires prayer, wisdom, and courage, and open communication. Always measure your decisions by Christ's standard. At the end of the day, our business is about helping people get to heaven. May God bless you as you purposefully place people in positions in your business.